Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them all across London.
This story was told by Nicole Thomas
in April 2013,
where the theme was struggles.
Lately, it feels like I've been scoring extra points in white trash family bingo. You know, looking back, my family was, you know, your average, everyday, normal, middle-class family. And I guess if you were to scratch the surface, of course, there's all this white, hot, bubbling rage underneath all of that, which was really great training for learning when, you know, coming to England. But, yeah, families, you know, like Tolstoy said, you know, we all have our shit. The characters. My father, who is a mixture of Homer Simpson meets Walter Mitty meets Robert Mitchum in The Night of the Hunter. My mother, who is a mixture of Marmee in Little Women, meets Mummy Dearest, but she's much better now, and every ditzy character that Betty White has ever played. There's me, who is Mrs. Dalloway meets really bad Woody Allen, even worse Anais Nin. My sister Tara, who is 2 years younger than me. Tara is Cheech and Chong meets Deepak Chopra meets, oh gosh, her name's gone out of my head, Star Wars. Prince Leia, Carrie Fisher. Missy is 15 months younger than Tara, and she is Jack Kerouac's drinking habit and Henry VIII's temper. So, yeah, family. And, you know, it wasn't that awful, of course. I mean, we certainly had our good little moments. And, you know, it's easy to kind of sometimes, you know, focus on those signposts of the bad things. And what's also really interesting with family is those moments when you make the active decision to not speak to a family member any longer. And everyone in my family has not spoken, either a, you know, the quiet, slow fade, not speaking to the other person, or the active decision to not speak. We've all decided to do that with each other, except for my mother and I. And of course, with that, you know, there's times you really wish you weren't speaking to your mother, but, you know, you don't do that. And at the times with me and my sisters, when the three of us were all speaking to each other and we were in the same space, we would sometimes get together and we would talk about some of the crazy stuff that my father had gotten up to. And, you know, so my mother and my father don't speak to each other because they got divorced in 92. And I haven't spoken to my father for about 18 years. He stopped talking to Tara because she did not back up his lie about his scar that he has behind his ear. She was at a barbecue, and his girlfriend at the time was nearby and heard someone say to Tara, "Oh, hey, how'd your dad get that scar?" And she said, "Well, he had a tumor removed when I was a kid." And the girlfriend said, "You know, Tara, what are you talking about? That your father got that when he was in Vietnam." My father had never been to Vietnam. So, yeah, it's just a bit fraught. I don't really remember why he stopped talking to Missy the first time. But we get together, the three of us, and we would, you know, talk about these stories. And it's almost like you're talking about a character in a play. And when you haven't actually seen this person a few years go by, it becomes even more. You know, my sister Tara would tell me how he was saying, oh, yeah, he's saying that you're such a loser. Meanwhile, I was in my third year of graduate school, you know, stuff like that. Or my favorite story was when my mother ran into the girlfriend and we discovered that dad had told the girlfriend he was divorced a good year before he actually was. Yeah, yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. With Missy and with Tara, I walked away, and it hurt. And, you know, there'd be times when, you know, you'd be going through your photographs, and you'd come across a photo, and you're like, damn, I miss that. I miss home. But I very quickly realized that Robert Thomas was not home, and he wasn't something that was safe. And Tara and Missy never did. They kept trying to reach out. For example, there's this photo I came across where I'm 2, 3, I'm not sure, and I look like Red from Fraggle Rock, you know, big pigtails. And Tara's looking at the camera very serious, and my father is... He's kind of ducked down behind a sofa. You can just see his eyes, and he has a big Cookie Monster puppet on his hand. And it's a really lovely, cute little photo. And that disconnect between that photo and that memory and the individual, the reality that I know to exist, it's a very wide gulf. And I made the decision to not try to build a bridge or drown in that river. But Tara and Missy kept trying to reach out to my dad. They kept trying to reconnect with him. And for a little while, he would reach out, and they'd reconcile, and then he would eventually push them away. With Missy, they reconnected for a bit. And in a way, that was good, because I was living over here. My mother is living in South Carolina. Tara is in Texas. And Missy, again, with the drinking problem and the anger issues, no one's talking to her right now. And so it was good for a little while that she and my dad had reconnected. But then that fell apart as well. This last summer, my mom called me, and she told me that Missy was really, really ill. The drinking caught up with her. And alcoholic hepatitis, thrush all down her throat. And I'm hearing this news, and I, meanwhile, I'm not talking to her because of my anger at her around her her anger issues and how she was treating her son. Hearing all this, and meanwhile, she's also homeless. She's not asking for help. Friends had been trying to get her into rehab, and you know, she was refusing to go. She had said no, no, no. It's a bit depressing. And... Dad was supposed to pick her up from the hospital. She didn't know where to go, and he didn't pick her up, even though he promised. And that's something I never will forgive him for. And I also probably won't ever forgive myself for picking up the phone and trying to call her during that time period. Flash forward a couple of months, and my mom called me this last autumn, and again, Missy walked into the hospital and flatlined. They brought her back enough. But they didn't know who this person was, and so they were going through her mobile, trying to, you know, connect something. And they found my father's number, and he refused to go to the hospital. He called my mom and, you know, gave her the information. And this whole day, my mom had told me this was going on. I was walking around London with my boyfriend and hoping that there would be a good ending out of all this, that they'd pull her back from the brink again, and she would be fine, and this would be the final wake-up call, and my mom and my sister would be at the bedside, and she'd wake up and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I made such a mess of it, and they'd hug, and the music would swell, and then, you know, end credits. And that didn't happen. My mom hopped on a plane but didn't get there in time. And when they were looking at the body, my mother, my sister, and my father came in, and he started going on and on about everything that he had done for her. And they asked him to leave. Later, because the way the laws work in Nevada with cremation, they needed my father and my mother's signature on the paperwork. And he decided to fight the signing of the cremation because... my mother hadn't shown him respect. So my mother and my sister had to go to family court to get all that waived, you know, so they could have the funeral go on time. So, yeah, it was just like the last thing you want to do when you're dealing with all that. So, yeah, that happened. Yeah, so that if I was ever not going to speak to my father, that was pretty much probably one of the last straws. And, you know, it was a relief when he didn't go to the service. But then, about a couple months ago, my mother calls me. She says, your grandmother just called me, and your father, he was driving, and he thought this person was following him or something was going on. So he pulled over, and they pulled over too, and he had a gun. He had a gun? Yes, he had a gun, and they had a gun too. This is America, remember. And they had a gun too, and he fired it up into the air, which is really stupid because, you know, bullets come down. And then someone attacked him and restrained him, and then he was arrested. I gotta admit, I got a huge rush out of hearing this story because it's amazing. If that is actually what happened, it is like, you know, Keystone Cops. It's brilliant. But when I looked up the arrest record online, I realized that's not what actually happened. I got the info about who the lawyer was, and I told my sister Tara about it. I didn't want to inject myself into all this again. I do want to know what happened, but I didn't want to reach out. So Tara reached out to the lawyer, and she called me, and she told me what happened. And it's bad, Nicole. Like, what happened, Tara? So my father was driving, and he was off his tits pissed, which, you know, that's nice. And he felt that the guy that was driving in front of him cut him off. So he took his gun and fired at the car. The guy, you know, luckily missed. The guy gave the cops the description, you know, was completely freaked out. Then apparently my father was driving around in this area. I don't know what he was looking for. And rear-ended another car in front of him. The woman got out of the car. You know, what are you doing? And my sister started to cry. And I said, Tara, is the woman all right? And she said, no, she's not. Apparently, my father, he dislocated her shoulder and I guess broke her face in like five places. And Tara then told me that she told the lawyer, I told her to tell him that I love him. And I really worry about her. I really, really do. And I don't think she's quite realized that the man in that photo holding up the Cookie Monster puppet, that's not our father. And I suppose she probably worries that I don't remember that man at all.
For more stories, head to sparklondon.com.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Yates,
with audio production by Matt Hill,
at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.